Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to The Only Way Out Is Through. This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots. And tonight is Friday, March 15th in the year 2024. Patriots, we're right now in a country and a time across the world in which all that we knew is literally dying. And we're suffering through a period of dealing with death. And what waits on the other side is some form of rebirth. And that's really part of the question of what does that look like? And much of that will remain unknown for some time. But we definitely know that what was is no more. And it's time that we have to start facing that fact and facing the direction in which we have to go. As we seek the ancient paths, even if we were to do that by virtue of Jeremiah 6:16, the ancient paths do not take us to things we used to know. It takes us much farther back and into areas that we may never have known. Nonetheless, what we're facing here now is the death of what we were comfortable with, and we're having to face something very new and very significant. And with that comes the five steps of grief. And we're going to cover all of those in the context of today and then where that makes us and takes us to. And before we get going tonight, one thing that's exceedingly clear in this crazy world in which we live is the world is falling apart. They're using everything they can to force us into a box, to narrow us down, to channel us, because they see great change and great disruption as an opportunity to re-engineer society. Part of that is to re-engineer our food and to put us in a place where we're dependent upon them and must acquiesce to the things that they insist that we eat, like bugs and GMO-modified vegetables and everything else. You need to be prepared in this hour because a lot of things are uneasy and a lot of things are destabilized. And a sudden change can cause a major disruption in your ability to feed your family. This is why we have My Patriot Supply. If you head on over to preparewithbards.com, preparewithbards.com, you'll find the 3-month emergency food kit on sale right now at a tremendous cost and a tremendous value. So take advantage of this. Get one for every member of your family. The 3-month emergency food kit is a foundational item. It's part of the foundation of building a great food plan. It's food that's there sealed in 4-layer bags with a shelf life of over 25 years. That means you never have to worry about it. And that means that it's always there when you need it, even in times when you least expect to need it. So again, head on over to preparewithbards.com, preparewithbards.com. You'll find the 3-month emergency food kit on sale. It's also a place where you know that when you get these meals from My Patriot Supply, you're going to have 22,000 calories a day. They're going to be well engineered and well organized to make you enjoy what you're eating as well as keeping you mentally fit. So again, head to preparewithbards.com. Take advantage of the 3-month emergency food kit. You'll find all these links always below the podcast. Patriots, let me begin, I think, best with a perspective in a biblical term, and that would be the quote from Matthew 24:11-13. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. Very much where we are right now, as everything is starting to unravel. And around us, we're starting to look at things that we had trusted and been able to count on before are now falling apart. We have lawlessness increasingly everywhere, and it's not getting better. It will get worse. And we're all sitting here in an edge of looking at around our world, wondering what will change next. And the one thing we can be guaranteed of is we're not going back to where we were. That's probably one of the hardest things people have to accept, and that's part of a process of death, is that once that begins, we can't go anywhere. Now, there's 5 steps in the sense of the 5 stages of grief. The first one is denial. The second one is bargaining. The third step is I'm sorry, the first one is denial. The second one is anger. The third one is bargaining. The fourth level is depression. And the final arrival point is acceptance after we go through all these places. Now, we've been through a long phase of denial. Denial occurs in many, many levels. Denial is looking around the world, knowing that things are changing and trying to tell you everything is going to be okay. We're trying to look to where things were. We're going to get back to normal. That's another element of denial. When you look at the atrocities in the news and you sit, for example, in a church and they tell you, we've got to support Israel, as we know that 13,000 plus children are getting slaughtered, we just turn our back on it and say, okay, I'll do that. We have a world that literally the children are being walked into mutilation clinics, and as a collective whole, we do nothing. It's not in my world. It can't be that bad. We're dealing with a world that's been injected with a shot. And we look around ourselves and we tell ourselves, it's not as bad as they say. I hear this all the time. We've heard the projections that almost everybody that takes a shot will eventually be dead. And people say, yeah, but it hasn't happened, so it can't be that bad. Maybe there was placebos, or even worse, when the shot came out. It's not really an mRNA shot. It's HCQ, because that's what President Trump did. These are the sorts of mentalities of denial that don't want to face what's about to happen before you. Child sex trafficking is another big one. When you say there's 750,000 children that go disappear out of this nation, they're like, that's an exaggeration. It's not really what that is. I heard it on the news. It's really only 30,000. Denials, denials, denials. People don't want to face the reality of where we are. They don't want to face the confrontation when you go in and they're like, the inflation's not that bad. I just got some good deals over at Walmart. I just got some good deals at the grocery store. When, in fact, the buying power of the dollar has collapsed, and we're spending 30, 40, 50% more than we were even 2 years ago. I remember when something costs this much, it's at what it should cost, but that was 5 years ago, 8 years ago. All of this is the process of denial. Well, I'm getting by, I'm going to get another job to pay bills. That's another process of denial. Things are getting worse, and we don't want to look at them. Things are falling apart. Politics are always corrupt. There's a phase we go through, and all of you people, as you get older, you always claim that it's going to be the end of the world. That's just what you do. It's not really that bad. The world's not getting that bad. Denial. And people find a comfort in living in denial because it allows them to detach from accountability. Now, and what happens in these stages of grief is that that denial phase happens when death is upon you or imminent death is facing you. You've lost somebody or you're facing death. And it's a process we go through of not wanting to face reality. And right now, there's a lot of that happening all over. People don't want to face reality. But as that reality starts to become impossible to escape, the next level is anger. And if you have any question about anger, it's all over the internet right now. It's everywhere. And it's anger at lashing out at everything. We want to blame this person. We want to blame that person. I want to blame him, her. Anger is always about projecting outwards. It's always someone else's fault. And it's also the realization, the frustration, the disempowerment of things. It's all around us. I'm going to play this piece here. I'm going to give you a warning. It has a language warning in it. It's throughout the piece. It's not tremendously harsh, but this is a person who is truly racked in anger. What he says is dead on, but it's also a place of being disempowered. We are now at a new phase in our nation. We've arrived at a point of anger as more and more truth is revealed. Take a listen to this.
I have been screaming for so long about the TikTok ban that I am out of screams. This is me actually angry. 352 members of the United States House of Representatives voted to ban TikTok today. That's 81%. I want you to think about the last time you heard 81% of our Congress agreeing on anything. Think about anything for the last 4 years. 81%. Shit, to pick the Speaker of the House, it took 18 votes, and he barely got through. Remember that? Remember how many times this year alone, we've had to have votes for the Speaker of the House? But TikTok ban, they're right there. They are voting to ban the complaint box rather than listen to a single complaint on this fucking app. They see us talking to each other. They see us seeing the humanity in each other's eyes. I don't care if you got a red hat or a fucking septum piercing. I hear your complaints and I see the world you're standing in. I'm not reading your tweet out of context. I'm listening to your voice. I've learned so much from this app over the last 2 years, and the biggest thing was to stop judging my fellow Americans like they are on some other fucking team. We are all just countrymen walking around together. We're all just people trying to get to the end of the day. We're all trying to make enough money so we can raise our kids, kiss them on the forehead, and hope that when we send them to school, they come home tomorrow. That's all we fucking want. And instead, has our Congress done anything to move forward on a Voting Rights Act? No. To make sure women can have health care? No. Maternity leave? No. The minimum wage has been stuck at the same fucking amount for 15 years. Have we moved forward on any of these things? No. But we can get 81% of the most corrupt motherfuckers to walk around directly from their country clubs to go to their government job with their government paycheck, with their fucking government car that I fucking paid for. And they can go onto the floor of the House of fucking Representatives that we all fucking paid for and tell us, no, no, we're doing it to protect your data. We're doing it because we're worried about the algorithm. Meanwhile, my data has been stolen 16 times in the last 5 years. You want to know how I know that? Because I've been in 16 class action lawsuits about my stolen fucking data that I didn't even know was stolen. One day I open the mail and there's a fucking mailer with a check for $5. Sorry, your fucking data got stolen. Your social security was found on the dark web because some chuckle fuck couldn't follow a goddamn regulation that was written in 1973. I am 39 years old. I have been told my entire fucking life that we need 60 votes in this goddamn Senate. And they're about to find it. We didn't have 60 votes to protect any of our shit. We got kids going to school every fucking day, terrified they're not going to go home. We got kids not wanting to give up their phones, not because of TikTok, because they're worried if somebody comes into their school, they want to be able to call their fucking parents to say goodbye. Any movement? Do we have 352 congressmen worried about that shit? No. But oh no. Oh no, a bunch of tech bros want to buy up all the TikTok data and use it to train AI models to put more people out of work? No, 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 put me in Congress. Fucking put me in Congress then. Write my name the fuck in. I'll line up. I'll take all of their fucking money. I'll take all that goddamn lobbyist money. And you know what? I'll make sure it says paid brand deal on the bottom corner. Because when you're a fucking influencer, you have to disclose where the money comes from. But when you're a congressman, ah, that's the price of freedom.
That man is so on point with where we are. Language aside, he's on point. And here's the deal. The country is boiling now. It's beginning to boil over, and it's beginning to get angry because the truths are starting to pour out, and they're pouring out everywhere. We haven't even got to the poison jab yet. That's coming. We haven't got to the issues of the Jewish cabal. That's coming. We haven't got to the real Chinese threat. That's coming. We haven't even touched immigration yet. That's coming. But Americans are angry, and they're angry for a good reason. Because the fools that lead this country, the pedophile compromised fools that lead this nation, don't care about us. They've thought all along that they could mask everything over, keep everybody calm, keep looking a different way, keep you digesting whatever garbage they want you to eat. Not just food, but the mental food that they feed you through your visual cortex, whether it's TV, whether it's on social media, the garbage of lies. And they've created a garbage diet for all of America. And they've always been worried about one thing, the Second Amendment, because that Second Amendment piece, that scares them. Because when Americans really do wake up, they're armed, and they were armed by the rights of our nation for the very reason we are here right now, because we have a tyranny that's running this nation. They see themselves as gods. They see themselves as privileged. They see themselves as elite. 81% of Congress voted for TikTok, and we have a border that's wide open. 81% of Congress was so concerned about China influencing our youth, and yet we don't care about the rapists, the murderers, the terrorists that are flowing across our border. crime rate is up across the nation. Things are just completely falling apart, and the nation still sits asleep. As an indicator of where we are with anger, here's something that comes up from Australia. It's interesting. A man went a little bit nuts when he finally put the pieces together that the jab that was given to a member of his family by a government official, a doctor who working for the government, actually caused his death. So he went in and brutally murdered this individual, this doctor, so bad that they couldn't even show the pictures on TV or on the web. That's just one of many more to come, because the anger is brewing. The anger is brewing in a big way. And when it does get here, it's going to be big. This is a piece that was done some time ago by Cliff High. It's worth remembering what he said, because he's on point.
Because we're going to be waking up, the vast majority of people that have taken the shots are going to be going through a red pill moment, not taking years, not taking even months or weeks. They'll be trying to absorb all this information in an extremely short period of time, and many of them will go ballistic. So I expect frequent, irregular, episodic instances of chaos. But it'll be sort of an organized chaos, in the sense that the people that go crazy won't be lashing out. Most of them won't be lashing out at the society at large. They'll be going crazy and lashing out at their abusers, very specific individuals. So it wouldn't surprise me, for instance, to see many of the people that we now title the elite be picked off one by one by one, and basically removed from this planet by the actions of people that they have harmed over these last 2 years, that would be unpredictable and not unstoppable. You need to stand back, okay? People need to understand that there will be a section of the social order that is going to go crazy in anger, grief, all of this, and there will be reactions, and it's best to not get yourself in the way of those reactions, especially if you're not like a law enforcement personnel kind of fellow that's trained in it, right? Because these will be very violent reactions to having been poisoned. And some of them, I expect, will be spectacularly so in terms of the violence of it. So it's not going to be wise to hang out around these elite guys.
This is going to get worse, because the people are awakening and the elites know it, and it's one of the reasons that they are so concerned. There's things that they are doing now in desperation because their plan is out of sync and it's not moving fast enough against the tide of awakening. We had the Maui fires. We know that. Then we had the fires down in Chile, and we just had the fires in Texas. All of these things were a maximized effort of what they'd done years before in Paradise and even in my own county here in Douglas County, using directed energy weapons to spark fires and to burn massive amounts of land, all designed as part of a greater agenda to force people in, because elites think it's their right to build in mass moments of chaos to where they can maximize land grabs and force social reengineering. The problem is that people are smarter than that. People are more adaptive than that. People are not as dumb as they think. And this is their greatest fault, but information is their greatest weapon. Take a listen to this piece by Greg Reese about the fires.
What the f*** is that?
Some are saying that directed energy weapons are being deployed to spark the largest fire in Texas history. And we know that these weapons exist.
This newly released footage shows the Dragonfire laser directed energy weapon system in action, and it could be in the hands of military personnel in 5 years' time. It destroys targets with an intense beam of light and has pinpoint accuracy. It's able to hit something the size of a £1 coin from a kilometer away.
The fires we have seen in recent years, including the fires in Texas, are very different from what we have seen in the past. They often selectively spare the trees while burning the infrastructure into a powdery ash footprint.
I have witnessed and observed some extraordinary damage in our state. could be caused by hurricanes or tornadoes. And frequently when you see the aftermath of that damage, there's some semblance of a structure that is still there. When you look at the damages that have occurred here, it's just gone, completely gone. Nothing left but ashes on the ground.
After the Maui fires, many people believed that a blue roof was able to deflect these directed energy weapons and spare the home from destruction. And Joe Biden recently alluded to this twice.
If you fly over these areas that are burned to the ground, you'll see in the midst of 20 homes that are just totally destroyed, one home sitting there because it had the right roof on it. And anyway.
Yes, and by the way, you notice you fly over in the helicopter, those places with roofs, they didn't burn.
With the right materials.
Yeah. So we got to change that.
Joe Biden is clearly not a reliable source of accurate information, but why would a roof save a house from burning? And while there is plenty of circumstantial evidence that suggests directed energy weapons are being used to start these recent fires, arsonists have been arrested starting them the old-fashioned way. And there is a clear motive. The United Nations, who have been orchestrating the open border policy of America and several other countries, have openly announced plans to clear the lands of people and move them into smart cities. Starting with Agenda 21, a map which shows designated off-limits to human areas lined up with the 2008 California fires. 9 years ago, planning was announced for smart cities to be built on Maui, but the most coveted property was owned by natives whose families have lived there for generations prior to Hawaii being annexed by the U.S. In August of 2023, Maui was devastated by highly suspicious fires. Roads were blocked off to keep residents from escaping, and the U.S. government gave survivors a mere $700 per household. A conference in April of 2023 met in Viña del Mar, Chile, to provide the municipality with support in the transfer of knowledge about the theory and solutions of smart cities. A year later, Viña del Mar was ravaged by fires. It was blamed on climate change, but local officials claimed arson. And in 2022, Amarillo, Texas was reported to be the number one area under the radar for the Texas housing market under the United Nations Vision 2045. On February 26th of this year, the biggest fire of Texas broke out in this same area. Vision 2045 is the latest iteration of the United Nations plan to seize control of 90% of the land and limit people to 15-minute cities.
We like to think that change happens in manageable ways. It doesn't happen like that. It happens in punctuated equilibria, where we have periods of stability and then periods of massive, radical, disruptive and transformative change. And that is where we are right now.
This is the decisive decade in the history of humanity. We who are here now have a responsibility that no future generations will have.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
That little limp-wristed smiling jerk at the end, which you didn't see his face, and I'm sure he walks with a light step, literally was enjoying himself talking about how they were going to force change on society. This is a really draconian and evil group of people that are in the world. They're looking forward to forcing humanity into the cattle pens that they want to build because they see us as lesser. And we have to keep asking ourselves, who are they? Well, we know that part of them, like it or not, are part of the Han dynasty. We know that because the Hans want to see the world completely removed and submissive to them. They're an element within the Chinese government and in Chinese society. But we also know increasingly that we have other derelict people, people that are literally trying to continue the deviant behavior within our ranks in our government. Here's an example of one. She's a Jewish lawmaker. I'll just let her words speak for herself.
Completely unfamiliar with child sex dolls. So I had, of course, to Google it last night. It's a little scared to put it in my search engine, but I did. And apparently, there is research on the subject. Not much, But there are what they call MAPS, minor attracted persons. And the limited amount of research that's done on these dolls, guys, suggests that they actually, for people who are attracted to minors, that these dolls actually decrease their proclivity to go out and attack children, that it actually gives them a release that makes them less likely to go outside of their home. And what was interesting is the research did not support the same conclusions for people who were adult attracted using dolls. That did not diminish their proclivity to engage other people, but for those with the... So I'm just a little concerned that, and like I say, the research is not very good, it is not comprehensive, but the research that is out there is conclusive.
Oh yeah, that's good. Just encourage a freak pedophile to continue to rape children with a doll. That's coming from a lawmaker. But I have to be careful because I did designate that she was Jewish. I probably should be clear about being Zionist, and probably even no more. She's not part of the original tribe of Judah, most likely. Probably most likely connected to the Khazarian bloodline. But I just want to give you an idea of what's happening in our nation, because now in 10 states, just what I played would tag me as an anti-Semite and be subject to legal repercussions. In 10 different states, there's now laws that state that accusing Jews as a people of being responsible for real or imagined wrongdoing committed by a single Jewish person or group, or even for acts committed by non-Jews, that's considered anti-Semite. In 10 states, two of which you would know, South Dakota and Florida, for example, accusing Jewish citizens of being more loyal to Israel or to the alleged priorities of Jews worldwide than to the interests of their own nation is now considered anti-Semitic. Denying the Jewish people their right to self-determination, or example, by claiming that the existence of the State of Israel is a racist endeavor is now anti-Semitic. And accusing the Jews as a people or Israel as a state of inventing or exaggerating the Holocaust, even though that's documented, is considered anti-Semitic. You're starting to see the classes of people rallying around to create the rules that protect themselves. If you are subject to China, and if you are in China and you are in the place of China, and you are working with China under contract, the fact of the matter is that you are under these same type of rules. You cannot speak against China under any circumstance. Otherwise, you'll be called to the rug and demanded that you must, in all circumstances, apologize. This is the world in which we live, and they have become a protected class. And I want to play you something here that you won't totally understand until you understand who's speaking this. I want you to hear this briefly. Take a listen.
现在在速度与激情中，我做很多采访，很多很多很多，所以在一个采访，我。That's
Chinese. That's John Cena, who was in Fast and Furious, who criticized China referring to Taiwan and had to make an apology to the Chinese Han Dynasty for stepping out of line. He's an American, or at least we thought he was, fluent in Chinese Mandarin, and speaking an apology to the Chinese people to try to explain why he spoke out of turn in the movie filming of Fast and Furious, Fast and Furious 8. You see, we are being controlled by a number of entities in this country. We have a Congress that has the majority of which have dual citizenship with Israel. If we take down the money run, we go to every single industry, such as entertainment, as in big finance, as in the music industry, and so forth. We're going to find that group of people. All of this is in this category of denial because people don't want to face the truth of what is actually happening. But when they start to realize it, the disempowerment leads to anger. And anger is the volatile and dangerous point in a nation when it can quickly go out of control. So it shouldn't surprise anybody that one of the big films they're rolling out this summer, which since film is the influence medium to try to trigger social change, is called Civil War. And it is truly a film about a country that has run amok, fallen into its own, and now is angry and start tearing itself apart from within. Why are they doing this film? The director claims And it's because he's taking an objective view and trying to look how all nations are subject to it. I would add for even further, because what they're trying to do is feed and foment the anger that's already here to turn it on ourselves, because the true engineers of this change, of this state of being, sit within D.C., sit within a certain religious cabal, and sit within a foreign powers that are meddling in our affairs to try to manipulate the country. Nothing can be more inciting right now than this potential ban on TikTok. And that ban on TikTok has got everybody inflamed, because Congress, no matter what their intention, can't win and won't win on this one. Congress is being manipulated by a variety of agencies, and their claim to try to protect our youth from Chinese interference is laughable. We have a border that's wide open. We have insurgents coming across the border, infants coming across the border. We've lost track of over 400,000 children that have been trafficked within our own border. We have elites that are being part of profiteering off of the moving them around. We have military defense contractors participating in relocating them, even our own military, in relocating these people across the nation. In the meantime, we have a nation that's suffering the ills of a bad economy and the injection, and our Congress finds one singular issue: to ban TikTok. So there's anger brewing, and the anger is ranking across all things. But with anger, then, as anger begins to settle, we begin to get into the bargaining. And the bargaining is to tell ourselves that, well, okay, if we do certain things, we'll get certain consequences. And part of this is, if we vote for President Trump, then there'll be change. If we vote for John R.F. Kennedy Jr., he's outside of them. We'll see change. If we get Biden again, we'll continue to get the woke policies, and it'll become better. It's a blindness. And it's a place where anger is replaced by bargaining, because too much anger the body literally can't handle. You go into overload, you're going to go into a cognitive snap, and we kick into bargaining, trying to rationalize with ourselves, since we can't deny it anymore, since we can't get angry at anything else. We begin to look at things and try to convince ourselves that it's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And everything is always pivoting off of the previous model and reference point of which we were. We're going to get back to where we were. Here's the truth. We never will. We are never going back to where we were. And the sooner that we come to grips with that, the sooner we start to move forward. But that doesn't happen yet. Because what happens in this process as we continue to go through this is people continue to have to face this issue of the anger, and it's a cycle. It's not just one-off. It's denial, anger, bargaining, denial, anger, bargaining, denial, anger, bargaining. And it keeps going through these cycles until finally it's so overloading, so overwhelming, that we have to finally face the fact that things just aren't going to be what we thought. We're not going to get back to where we thought. And in so doing, then, we have to start facing a certain deep and penetrating reality. This is Colonel McGregor.
I don't think we'll ever get to the 2024 election. I think things are going to implode in Washington before then. I think our economic financial condition is fragile. It's going to come home to roost in ugly ways. I will tell you, I don't know exactly how it will happen. I think we're going to end up in a situation where we find out the banks are closed for 2 or 3 weeks. And nobody can get into them.
You think so?
I think we're going to run into something like that, yeah. I also think that the levels of violence and criminality in our cities is so high that it's going to spill over into other places in society. People that normally think they can live remote from the problem are now beginning to be touched by the problem. Then I look at this thing in Ukraine. I think Ukraine is going to lose catastrophically. It's going to be a complete collapse. And that, too, is going to have an effect here at home, because people are going to say, well, wait a minute. Everybody told us Ukraine was winning. Everybody told us X, Y, and Z. I mean, sort of the Russian hoax on steroids. All of those things are going to come together or converge in some way that's going to prevent us from reaching, you know, the status quo. Oh, another election. Oh, another set of.
And these things are happening everywhere. As people are trying to bargain with themselves and trying to tell themselves that it's all going to be okay, there's also this other real reality that continues to build around us. And it's the physical presence of those that are being illegally allowed to take occupancy within the United States.
Not legal.
If they were legal, they need to pay taxes.
What do you think is going to happen with the migrant crisis here in New York City?
It's getting bad because they're also next to my house and they piss on my door. I could tell that they're gang wars. I mean, they're tattooed up to head to toe. The people pissing on my door, they're tattooed up head to toe. And they're not, there's no law against illegal migrants committing crimes. So again, it's lawlessness, non-payment of taxes, siphoning all our money to their native countries, and it's just killing our economy. Eric Adams just said he's going to give 4,000 migrants jobs. That means 4,000 civilians have less jobs. It's just not fair to Americans. It's getting scary. Right now, you know, people in the Bronx are getting attacked. People Upper East Side, two of them just got attacked. And it's illegal to buy mace. It's illegal to protect yourself. I've lived here 50 years. And this is not fair that we feel unsafe in our homeland. And our own country is not defending us. And there's nobody to protect us. The police can do nothing. They told us they can do nothing because there's no law against them.
No law against them. They're all protected, and we're watching everything collapse around us. And the more that we see these things and the more that the truths come out, the more that people have to start facing things and can't run away. That bargaining continues to break down. Tucker Carlson has been covering the vax lately. This is quite amazing. This is one in an area that has been long overdue, but Tucker's taking it to his platform now to start exposing the fact that the lies of the vax were deep. Take a listen.
Of all the lies told in public over the past 10 years, and there are almost too many to count, this may be the most painful of all. It's almost hard to watch, but we're going to play it anyway. Remember this?
Make your plan to get one of these vaccines. They are safe and effective.
If there's one message that needs to cut through all this, the vaccines are safe. I promise you, they are safe and effective. Listen to Dr. Fauci.
When we say that something is safe and effective, we mean it's safe and effective for everyone.
Our vaccinations against COVID-19 are safe. They are effective, and they're more important than ever.
This vaccine has gone through the necessary and rigorous evaluation that ensures the vaccine is safe and highly effective.
Of course, they were neither safe nor effective, and that was obvious right away. As people who took the vaccine continued to get COVID, and more ominously, as some of them began to die, and a lot of them, probably people around you, got sick in ways that no one anticipated. Anyone watching this carefully, and watching it at all, would know both of those things, and yet most physicians in this country lied about it, continued to lie about it, and to this day lie about it.
And this is where the lie begins to unravel, because the truth is around us every day. We continue to hear reports, or maybe even you and your own family are meeting people or knowing people that are dying. And this effect is changing culture. We're not going back to where we were. And as we start to face this, we arrive at the fourth phase of grief, which is depression. Right now, there's another part of society that is in depression right now. They're in depression because they find no way out. They're having to submit to a change that they never bought into. They're part of a time when they never wanted to be part of any of this. They wanted to simply live a life, be left alone. They wanted to do their own thing. They didn't want to have to fight and be in a war. They never asked for that. And unfortunately, the hardest part of that is that we have to accept a simple reality that when we look around, the greatest threat to the American people is not China and Russia or Iran. It's Washington, D.C., and once you start looking through this perspective, everything starts to make a lot more sense. Our government is a tyranny. It's run by tyrants. It's run by drug lords. It's run by mafiosos. It's run by a global cartel that has organized itself to use the large percentage of the American public as its slave and wage earners so that it could profit and build its empires across the globe. For a simple fact and reason, Israel does not exist and would not exist had it not been for the billions of dollars that we flooded into that nation and the arms in which it has. Israel cannot wage the war currently in Gaza unless it receives the ammunition production that we are providing it. Ukraine does not exist, would not exist, had it not been for the billions of dollars that we pumped in there and the bioweapons programs that we created to test on Donbass and to try to threaten Russia. Taiwan would not exist had it not been for the 1,000-plus bioweapons labs and all the military hardware that we pumped into Taiwan to keep China at bay. And yet it's always China. It's always Russia. It's always somebody else. It's a terrorist, because the duplicity of which we walk, this binary world, is there's always an evil in order for us to have good. Our government is the enemy of the people. It's not just the media. If they're part of the government because they're all run. It's not just corporations, because this public-private partnership and the functioning of government and lobbyists and campaign money ensures that our government and our corporations are lockstep in keeping the American public dumb, repressed, and shut down, so that all they do is put their nose to the grindstone and they earn a wage and go back to things. But there are fundamentally certain things that are wrong in our society, and we're beginning to wake up to it. We're waking up to the fact that it's fundamentally wrong to take your children away from home and drop them into a government programming system, an indoctrination camp. We call that public schools. It's fundamentally wrong to spend your life earning away, dumping in your intellectual property, your gifts and talents into a corporation that at the end of the day has no care for you, will cut you as soon as it can, won't even guarantee you a retirement, and doesn't like you. It's fundamentally wrong to step into a military to serve your nation when it then turns around and turns every one of its soldiers into test subjects for Big Pharma. This is the nation in which we live. And as people come to this grips, there's a heavy depression that sits across the nation. A heavy depression. And that depression is truly one that disempowers, it immobilizes, and it's what they're counting on. The problem is they can't move fast enough right now. They can't move fast enough to collapse it down, because once you get to depression, the next step is the most dangerous for them. It's the acceptance of what you see. And that's the fifth stage of grief. We are rapidly arriving into a horizon where there is more acceptance into what people see. They're not doubting. They're not questioning as much. And with that comes this flood of something really amazing. It's faith. Faith comes in and starts to replace all the doubt. It starts to heal the depression. It starts to shape all of that information you had. It dispels the anger, and it gives people purpose and obedience to whom? To God. Because suddenly we realize what we've been missing all along. We haven't needed them. We never have. We haven't needed anything that they gave. We never have. That we are truly the princes and priests of the world, and we've never needed government. We've never needed the technology. We've never needed anything. We simply needed our obedience to Holy Spirit and to walk in this world and to learn from what Holy Spirit gives us. We're told that in so many forms and stories in the Bible. We're at a place right now when we get to the depression that it is truly a moment when something very powerful happens. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. When depression hits to the level it does, and there's still at the same time enough of the awakening of faith around, even the most darkened heart can be touched by the fact that they can literally do only one thing. That's all they have left. And this is the greatest moment for humanity. They have to turn to God. Nobody leaves a foxhole as an atheist. And this is where we've arrived. You have to turn to God. You turn to Christ, only through Christ to the Father. And as we do that, we open up that dining spot at the table. We say, please come in and sit down and dine with me. And the change begins. As difficult as this moment is for so many, as difficult as it is to feel the storm and to be in the middle of it, and don't kid yourself, we are in the storm. The change is shaking. The earth is rocking. Everything that was and is not of God is being stripped away. And for some, that's an amazing amount of things. It's all the allegiances and alliances, the hopes and money, the hopes in Nisera, Jisera, all these false gods that have been created around us in some sort of idea that somehow God's suddenly going to open up the heavens and pour down all this gold and silver, and everybody's going to be able to buy up stuff and have the inversion happen of the elites become poor and the poor become rich. That's all nonsense. The only currency of heaven is faith. And right now, what's happening is our faith is elevating. And when we get to the point of depression, there's no place to go. Well, there are, actually. It's a road. It's a choice. It's a fork in the road. Depression is a place where you stay, and ultimately, if you stay there, you die. And either you die by the lack of inspiration to live, or you die by a measure of your own hand, because you can't face the world anymore. Few in proportion ever arrive at depression. They never go beyond that point into the darkness of the abyss to take their own life, because somehow we're wired to truly seek out that which we sometimes can't even find, and that's God. And this is where truly the remnant in this nation, those that are awakening and walking in that power of Holy Spirit, those that are taking the Church of Christ and taking in your heart and taking it into the world, this is where our greatest mission sits before us. It's now time, as we hit the point of moving the society from depression into acceptance, and acceptance is far beyond the acceptance of not going back. It's the acceptance of opening the doors that are there before us. It's the acceptance in the body of Christ to welcome Christ in, to dine with you, and to begin anew. There's a lot on all of our plates right now. Every single one of us in the collective whole carries a great deal of responsibility. The great thing about walking with God is that weight of that is being taken and shared with us. We don't have to carry the whole burden. And so wherever you are on that place, that spectrum of this grief that sits the society, the grief that we're dealing with, because everyone's dealing with it in one fashion or another, wherever you are, whether you're in denial, whether you're in anger, whether you're in bargaining, whether you're in depression, or whether you've arrived in acceptance, the only way through this, the only way is to move through this and in the end, truly embrace that walk with Christ. There's no other answer. You can fool yourself and try to tell yourself you won't get there. You can do it another way. You can try to tell yourself that I can just do it with knowledge. You will fail. Because what is happening around us is everything's being shredded. The entire systems in which we have known are falling apart. There's nothing that is going to remain the same here. That horizon could be extremely dark. That horizon could be that we're coming into, or that horizon could be extremely amazing. It could be somewhere in between. It won't be like we think. We won't know exactly where it arrives. But when we do know one thing that's absolutely clear, and when we finally hit acceptance, there is one thing we know beyond a shadow of a doubt. No matter where we arrive, our mission never changes. Spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and stand up the fivefold ministry. And when we do that, no matter what we do, the world is a better place to be. So this is a tough walk right now. There's a lot of things that are shaking and falling apart. There's a lot of things that are being revealed that are hard to digest, and those are going to continue. People you've trusted are going to show themselves to be not what you thought they were. And at the end of the day, part of that is for us to find a forgiving heart as well. Because what we're witnessing now is a world that has gone mad. And within all of this, it is the actual truth of the world. It's Romans 1:18-32, it's the reprobate mind. It's where God has turned the world over to itself that has walked away from him, and we are witnessing what happens when that happens. The horrors and the craziness, the sexual deviance, all of the things that we would never want to have in our lives suddenly are happening all around us, and faster and faster and faster. And we're asking ourselves, why? How can this be happening? How can things be falling apart? Because the center point of where society needed to be, the pivotal point and the rock on which this nation was originally built on, that's the rock of faith and the loving Christ, we aren't actually standing where we thought we were. And as a nation, the illusion is now being stripped. And what we discovered was the nation had been shifted from the rock of faith to a house built on sand. And so as you look around and try to rationalize this, it's not something you can rationalize without the understanding and the relationship to Christ and the power of our faith. And when we start to look at it from this lens, a purpose emerges, a destiny, an intention, a purpose of why we're here, to spread that gospel of Jesus Christ and to start moving people back to that center point of the rock of faith. All the promises in the world of a politician, whether it's deporting 22 million illegal aliens, or that number is apparently up to 45 million now, whether it's prosecuting those responsible for the COVID jab, though we don't know how far or how deep that will be, whether it's trying to rechange government by flooding in people and new ideas and new things, the system itself will never change until the moral base changes. And all we will be doing is we will be replicating the same process with just another flavor of ice cream or another flavor of toppings on it, when the real core of this whole thing, it will stay the same. Everything for that matter, no matter what is promised in political realms, no matter what hope people are sparking in thinking this is going to be a quick fix, and it can be in God's hand, but it's going to be some quick fix coming through an election, you're lying to yourself. Because the only thing that can ultimately change this nation is a pivot to a moral fabric and a moral foundation that understands that there's only one law, and that's God's law. And when we get to that point, the nation truly begins to change. And so it takes a remnant. It takes a dedicated remnant that no matter what happens, through thick or thin, no matter how bad the storm gets, no matter how far hot the flames feel, that in the end, we're able to walk through this and continue to pursue those simple principles. Spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Heal the sick and the broken. Cast out demons. Raise the dead. Speak in the prophetic and walk in the apostolic. And as we do that and we revive that fivefold ministry within our hearts and within our communities, we're going to see the change. And it always comes back to where we live, always comes back to where we walk, always comes back to who we influence on a daily basis and influencing them through the experience of touching the glory of Christ. It's really that simple, but it's also that hard, because to get to that acceptance, there's so much we have to go through as a nation to start to realize where we truly are and how far we've truly fallen. And only then do you start to pick up the pieces and say, now I see the way forward. So patriots, there's never been a more important time to dig into the word. There's never been a more important time to walk in the power of Christ. There's never been a more important time than to claim whom you are, a child of the Most High. So before we close tonight, on the April 8th is a massive event. It is the eclipse. It's a very powerful event that's been spoken of prophetically. It's an event that has so much spiritual meaning and intention behind it. We are having two events simultaneously. One is being led by Pastor Rod Parker, who was on last night. He will be down in Kimoto, Texas. The other is being handled and organized by myself and Michelle and Lee of the Resistance Chicks, and we will be at Pastor Neil Peterson's church up in Brookville, Ohio. There's entertainers, there's speakers. This is all a revival. And with revival comes a repentance for the nation. We're asking everybody to come, anybody and everybody that can come. There is a donation suggested. You can register. We need you to register, please. You can register at bardsfest.com. We ask for a donation of $25 a person. If you can't afford it, we still want you to come. If you can give more, we ask you to come. Because this is about us coming together, sowing in with what's on your heart, knowing that you're helping build something and being part of something that's really significant. In addition to the Resistance Chicks and myself, we're going to have Pastor Neil Peterson speak. We're going to have the Revolutionary Revivalists, which are Little Leah and Abigail, speaking. We're going to have Pete Santilli there. We're going to have Pastor Debonise Ball there and her mentor, Apostle Greg Davis. And Pastor Rod Parker is going to have Stephen McRither, who just wrote a new song called Come Jesus Come. They're going to be doing other pastors there. There's going to be teaching in all these places. There's going to be prophetic words. It's going to be a fantastic event. One is at the beginning of where it starts in the United States. One is near the end. And we will experience the true darkness of this event, a true coming out of the darkness into the light. It's an important moment because this is truly very symbolic for a nation. It is where we arrive at acceptance as a nation. It is where we begin the transition from all of these other things, the denial, the anger, the bargaining, the depression, and we step into acceptance. And with that acceptance, we step into a new era in a nation. And those things don't happen immediately, but the spark of that and the seeds of that are being planted big. And as they go forward, it is a direction in which this nation will go that we will truly be able to overcome. There's a lot of chatter about the coming days, about the upheavals, about the violence, about all these things you're hearing in the news. The only thing I would tell you right now, the most powerful tool we have is prayer. And so while I'm not naive in any way to suggest that we should not be prepared, because we must, what I am going to say is don't give fuel to a future that sees itself as seas of blood. Rather, give fuel to the future where it sees the warriors of Christ raising their sword of the Spirit and fighting first in the Spirit to defeat the operations in the flesh. Each of us can control that. Each of us can be part of that victory. And as we step into that victory, truly, we will conquer what is in the world around us. So I encourage you to be part of the event on April 8th. It's fantastic. We're going to be each be having, both events will be having a prayer vigil the night before on April 7th. And in addition to that, on April 6th at Mandolin Farms, I will be there April 6th for a prayer event on April 6th to pray together and to bless that property before moving on upwards. And that's something that I hope anybody that can come will come. All right, Patriots, great time to be alive. As difficult as things are, I would not choose another time in the timeline of Earth to be than this. We are part of the greatest rescue mission ever launched to save humanity and God's children. It's time for us to step in and take the authorities in which we're given. Let us pray. Father God, we're just going to come to you today, and we just thank you for this time we have. We thank you for the blessings given. And Father, we're humbled here today just to reflect on all that was given in the cross, the sacrifice and the crucifixion of Jesus, the blood and all that was given to break the blood covenant, to free us, and now to give us and empower us with the tools through Christ to defeat this enemy, to stand boldly against him, to proclaim the authorities, and to know that we have all authorities over snakes and scorpions and the authorities over the dominion of all evil. So, Father, we just pray that those true sense of that great power that was given to us, the equalization of all people, the grafting in and the great leveling, let us now understand truly who we are and whom we are part of. Let us lean in. Let us understand that every knee will bow. Without exception, every knee will bow. And so, Father, we pray into this moment and we bless this moment that we're in. And, Jesus, we're just humbled to be part of the body of Christ as we move forward. We ask that you'll guide us, protect us, give us clarity and discernment in all that we do. Lift us up and give us that walk before. Provide us with the next step in each of our steps. May it even be just one step at a time. And let us be clear on where we are and what we are doing. For in this time, there's only one singular purpose, and that is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and to serve our King. So, Patriots, I lift this day up and this moment up. And I pray, Father, that there is a blessing over all, to touch each and everyone's heart with that glory and the true sense of being part of the body of Christ. And we declare these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So, Patriots, it's a great time. Spread the word about the festival and keep your head up, because there's a lot going on. Keep your head on a swivel, because there's a lot going on. So it's both ways. All right. See you tomorrow night for the Gospel of Peace. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tomorrow night. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, good night, thank you, and out for now.
Oh, I wanna feel something. I just wanna breathe.